So now let's understand why are we creating your customer persona. The purpose of creating customer personas is to humanize and understand the target audience better by giving a face and personality to their ideal customers. Businesses can empathize with their needs and motivation, allowing for more effective marketing strategies. So even when I'm designing a persona, I can basically now understand my ideal customers better because there might be certain personas that might be a combination of multiple key variables. So primary reasons are targeted marketing, enhanced customer understanding, and improved customer experience, informed content strategy, marketing better ROI, better marketing ROI, consistent brand messaging, product development insights, and effective segmentation. So let's look at a couple of attributes, personal attributes that we can have. We can have a female who's maybe 28 years of age, stays in Mumbai, has completed her MBA, and is working as a marketing manager. So this could be one type of persona attributes that is there. So this is only considering the demographic. Now let's look at the psychographic details about it. Traveling, fitness, cooking. So those are my interests. Hobbies are photography, hiking, playing, musical instruments. Values are environment, sustainability, work-life balance, and lifestyle is health conscious and adventurous. So if you look at the lifestyle, you can already understand that I have a persona where I am a fitness enthusiastic and I like hiking. So that takes care of the health conscious and adventurous bit of things. Also, the traveling also indicates that I like to move around a lot. What are the now the behavior characteristics of that person? Frequent online shopper, so most of the time a shopper, early adopter of new technology. That means more, the moment a new technology is come, that female will be a person to take it up. Brand loyalty to certain brand, advocates for favorite brands and stays with those brands. Online behavior, active on social media, engages with educational content. So that tells me a lot of the details about that particular person. Again, the technographics device is iPhone, laptop is a MacBook, social media active on Instagram and LinkedIn, rarely uses Twitter. So now what does that tell me? It tells me any marketing messages that are sent on Twitter will not be perceived or might not get viewership for that particular marketing message. Then online preferences, prefers mobile apps for shopping, watches product reviews on YouTube. So again, which tells me how exactly, if I do not have a mobile app, maybe I need to get a mobile app for that particular product that I'm selling or customize based on my need. Goals, personal goals, achieve career goal, travel to new destination, pain point, time constraint, difficulty finding eco-friendly products, motivation, seeking convenience in daily activities, environmental sustainability. So now if you notice, right at the beginning, we had said that values is environmental sustainability and lifestyle is health conscious. So additionally, now when you go on to the pain points, you see we have difficulty finding eco-friendly products, and anything that is environmentally sustainable is important to me. Additionally, since I have time constraints and I'm looking at career growth, I need something that can help me fit everything into my daily balance, especially because I am looking at a work-life balance. So, do you understand how all of this begins to make sense and how it can add up? Secondly, we have photography and playing musical instruments. Also, here we have engages in educational content, which shows a learning behavior for that person, particular person. Then communication messages, so email and Instagram direct messages. Email, why? Because probably because I would have installed the app on my phone. Again, Instagram direct messages is because I'm active on social media, which is Instagram and LinkedIn. So all of this basically connects together. Frequency of communication, prefers weekly updates and promotion. Again, that talks about working the rest of the days and having time constraint. Communication style, responds moderately to casual and friendly language. So shopping habits, prefers online shopping over in-store purchases. Purchase triggers discounts and limited time offers. Positive reviews from trusted source, because I do listen to reviews on YouTube. But that person does listen to reviews on YouTube. So then we have consideration process, conducts thorough research before buying, which again is shown by my other behavioral key variables. Influences, trusted influence on social media, recommendation from friends and families, media consumption, regularly uses it reads industry blogs and online reviews. Exclusionary persona. While a persona profile is a representation of your ideal customer, a negative or exclusionary persona is a representation of who you don't want as a customer. For example, it could include professions who are too advanced for your product or research, students or who are only engaging with your content for research knowledge, or potential customer who are just too expensive to apply. So this is basically, before we go on to that, this was basically what is the kind of persona, especially when I consider all the details about a particular individual. Now, if you see, looking at all these details, right from the demographic information to the psychographic to the behavioral characteristics to the technographics to the goals, pain points, motivations, communication preferences, shopping habits, influences, I practically know everything about my customer. Then, and which helps me design strategies, products based on this particular kind of persona. Now, additionally, there are exclusionary personas also, which I do not want to address, or people who will not suit my brand profile. That means, suppose it's like saying, if I have a customer, or if I am purely interested in Apple products or at least the Galaxy S series, the expensive category, then having a phone of a lower category will not be something that will suit my personality type, and that's why I would not want to target you for that my particular product or a service. Then mapping customer journey with persona. So how do I map that? So mapping, in what does it do? Mapping involves understanding how each persona interacts with the product or service at different stages of their buying process. By combining persona journey mapping with the persona profiles, businesses give detailed insight into the specific touch points and pain points experienced by the each persona. So what are we going to look at? We are now going to look at the customer journey of a tech-savvy millennial marketer. So first is stage one, which is awareness. Becomes aware of the new marketing automation tool through a social media engaging ad on LinkedIn, maybe. The ad highlights how the tool can streamline their marketing efforts and save time. Intrigued by the promise of increased efficiency, they click on the ad to learn more. So I'm basically a marketer, and I am someone who's very tech savvy. So I want everything that can be automated or can help me engage the content. So what I do is, for a tech savvy millennial marketer, I put up an ad on LinkedIn, and I say the ad will tell me that if I now, since I'm marketer, I will get better marketing efforts by reusing this new automation tool. So what am I going to do? Out of curiosity and the promise that I'm getting better efficiency, I'm going to basically click on the ad. So now what do I do? The six stages consideration. So firstly, we spoke about awareness. That means I know that exists. Second, and now I'm talking about the consideration. So now I go see the ad, and what I do now, I start comparing the marketing products with other similar products. I read reviews, go through demo videos, I explore what is the other users who have used the product, what is they are saying, how sustainable is it for my marketing needs, and in case there is a live webinar by the company, I will go out to see the product in action. So I will join the webinar. So that takes care of it. Now I'm aware, I have considered the probably the tool. Now comes the decision-making process. Obviously, the tool will come at a certain cost. Am I willing to address that much? So what do I now do is, once in the webinar, everything has been addressed, which is the user-friendly interface, the powerful features, You also give the person a limited time discount offer, especially that is available for the webinar attendees. So say a 25% or any other discount. Now what happens is now the tech-savvy millennial marketer is more towards buying because now he's getting an additional, he or she is getting an additional discount for that particular product that he wants. So now, did you understand how getting the millennial marketer through the three stages, that is awareness, consideration, and finally through the decision-making process, ensuring that going from a potential buyer, they go on to becoming a customer. So now we are talking, going to talk about the next bit of things, which is segmentation using customer profiling. So when I say segmentation using customer profiling, what am I doing? Dividing the, so first of all, so we finished speaking about personas. Now let's get back to customer profiling. So how do I now create segments using customer profiling? What are the steps that are involved is all what we are going to discuss. So what are we going to do? First, customer database is going to divide into distinct groups. What are we going to use? Their characteristics, their behaviors, their preferences, all which have been determined through customer profiling. So the first step becomes, as usual, data collection. I cannot do anything without data. So I gather the required customer through various sources, including surveys, web analytics, CRM system, social media, everything about the customer. So even when I was doing the persona here, so all of these details did not come, the personal details, the demographic, the psychographics, the behavioral characteristics, all did not come from one place. These have come from multiple places which have given me a complete profile of the customer. So I have to collect data from various sources so that I can be able to get that kind of a 360-degree view. 360-degree view is basically you're trying to get a complete information about who and what my customer is. So, customer profiling now create detailed customer profiles by analyzing the collected data to understand demographics, psychographics, behaviors, and technographics. Then, now we begin to identify what is my segmentation criteria. So, what do? I determine what are the key variables that I can use to divide my customer. Do I want to use demographic data, psychographic data, behavioral data, technographic? Do I want to use specific? Maybe I just want to use the location and the device usage or the purchase history and the lifestyle. I don't necessarily have to base my segmentation criteria on all the key variables. I can just choose specific key variables to segment my customers. And then a better way to do it is using various segmenting algorithms. So I have K-means, I have other algorithms which and decision trees which help me group customers with similar attributes into distinct segments. So I can choose two segments, three segments, however segments that I want. Then I need to, even through AI, the segments that I created, I need to ensure the segments are meaningful, they are actionable, and provide more insight for designing my marketing strategy. If it is not providing that information, I might want to re-evaluate the segment creation that has been done, or even go back and select what are the segment segmentation criteria. Do I need to make any segmentation criteria change to get the right segments? So, what are the various analytical techniques? So, we just spoke about using analysis or algorithms to make do the segment creation. So, now let's understand what are those segmentation criteria or analytics techniques. So, we have clustering, we have decision trees, we have regression, we have principal component analysis, we have machine learning, we have RFM model. Then we have all of those. So there are more, many more than this, but then these are the basics that are normally used frequently. So when I talk about clustering algorithms, they are like K-means or hierarchical customer, which are used to basically group customers into segment based on similarities in the attribute. So what these algorithms will do will actually work with a large amount of data and will help identify homogeneous segments with common characteristics. So I can basically group together common characteristics and identify those common characteristics and break it out into clusters or segments. Decision trees. Decision trees are used to divide customers based on series of attributes, creating branches that lead to distinct segments. This method will help a clear visualization representation of segment criteria and helps in segment interpretation. So how does it work? Male, female, then within male, female, each would have their further age groups. Within that age group, they would have certain locations that I'm probably going to be looking at. Within the location, they would have certain interest, and like that, going down and down in the decision tree, I would be able to define unique segments for each and every customer profile or each and every segment. Regression analysis can be used to identify the most influential variable that drive customer behavior, allowing more accurate segment creation and predictive modeling. So when I talk about regression, it helps me identify very clear customer behavior, and it tells me what are is that variable. So how each and every, so it's a combination of dependent and independent variables. So we understand how the dependent variable is affected by each of the independent variables, which allows me for better segment creation and better modeling that can be done. Then we have principal component analysis, which is PCA, which has helped to reduce the dimensionality of the customer data, identifying the most critical variables that differentiate segments and complex data structures. So with principal component analysis, what I'll start doing is I'll basically start dropping variables that are less impactful or are less contributing to my entire segment creation that is there. And with that, what happens is I am left only with the critical variables, and the non-critical or the some of the part of the critical variables or semi-critical variables are also left out, which again helps me differentiate segment, but it also helps me in breaking down very complex data structures by reducing the number of components or the variables that are there with the segmentation. Then we have advanced machine learning methods, which is support vector machine, random forest, neural networks. So complex profiling, segmentation task. When you're dealing with large amount of data tests, you want to break it down as much as possible. So your random forest is nothing but a group of decision tree. Then you have support vector machines, you have neural networks, which again break down complex data set into specific variables that are available. RFM modeling basically informs the purchase behavior of the customer using purchase behavior as an attribute in developing customer persona. The RFM provides information on the segmentation. So RFM specifically has to do with recency, frequency, and the spending methodology that is there. So it is specifically used only for purchase behavior. Also, now that we have the customer profile, how we build the customer profile, it is also important that finally these profiles have to align to my business strategy. Either I align, build my business strategy based on my customer profiles, or I have a customer, I build a business strategy and then use customer persona to be able to understand what it does. So firstly, it's important to understand that customer profile and persona is going to be unique to every business, and within that it's going to be unique to every strategy that is there. So the segmentations and personas are two are unique depending on the scale, the size, the industry, the vertical, the geography, and the nature. Obviously, the same, all businesses cannot have the same customer profiles or the same customer performer, or even for that matter cannot have the same key variable for their customer segmentation. So the customer segmentation strategy also needs to be aligned to business objectives so that it can be meaningful and deliver relevant and engaging experience to their customer. Please understand, at the end of the day, customer profiling and customer persona is all about being able to customize everything about your business to each and every customer, at least to each and every segment. So if it does not align to my business objectives, it will not make any sense. The nature, dimensions, and granularity of alignment will be business specific and vary from business to business. However, there are some common steps to align the two. So even though they are varied, every business can basically follow some common steps that will help us align the business strategy to the customer profiles. So what are those steps? Define business objectives and KPIs. Everything in analytics starts with defining first the objectives and the metrics on basis of which you will define your criteria. Now, based on that, you will identify your target segments and you'll identify the personas or build the persona. Again, a very critical step when it comes to developing and aligning customer segmentation. Again, what you have to do is finding ideal offline and online customers, identifying what characteristics, needs, preferences, behaviors, and motivations they have. Identify effectively ideal customer segments and resources around should first determine the most relevant criteria for their business and target audience. So, to effectively identify ideal customer segment, we should first determine the most relevant criteria for their business and target audience, evaluate potential customer segments, develop a customer segmentation strategy. Again, this involves tailoring marketing efforts and product offerings to meet each and every segment's unique needs and preferences. So you'll have to consider content messaging, you'll have to consider communication channels, you'll have to consider product preferences or product recommendations that can go out. So the reason we are doing this segmentation so that we can target each one of these segments very, very specifically. Then there is something called as a differentiation strategy, which involves what is important to customers in that segment likely to buy your product. Value drivers could be cost, quality, features, safety, buying experience, after-sale support, etc. So what is that? If I'm selling a product to them, what will make them buy the product? For each segment, evaluate the importance of to the customer for each appropriate value driver on a scale of low to medium to high. Like we saw earlier, there are going to be multiple. So if it's a tech enthusiast, I'm going to basically sell a tech product to that and maybe give a good deal. If there is a sister concern or they're already using a product, one of my products, maybe I can give an additional discount. That is how the entire thing would work. Evaluate the same value drivers in terms of your offering is different from your competitors. What is your USP? Are you offering something that is better? Is my food quality better? Is my price better? Is there a segment of customers where quality matters? So is the quality better than my competitor? Is there a segment that has better? Is looking more at more reasonable pricing? Is my pricing better than my competitor? And all of that. That is how you differentiate. Then after evaluating the differentiation, each of the evaluators carry a set of two evaluations for each driver. The first is how important the value driver is to the customer in the segment. And the second is the differentiation of the value driver from your competition. Plot the two evaluations on a two-dimensional grid with a scale of low, medium and high on both axes. So this is exactly what I was just talking about, where I said that you will have to evaluate that whether the quality matters or does the price. And based on that, you will have to design your preferences. So how do I do that? A graphical representation is the ideal way to do it. So I'll just plot a two-dimensional grid with on a scale of low, medium, high with putting all the parameters. So obviously, if I have more than two parameters, it will have to go on multiple graphs. Value drivers that fall in the high category should become the primary focus, both in terms of the messaging to the customer in the segment, in the that segment, in terms of making absolutely sure that those value drivers are perceived by the customer as you produced or even better. So if quality is more important, then I need to focus on quality. If the customer prefers email messages, I need to put it over email. And that is how whatever is categorized as high needs to be given the highest priority. Strategies for each segment, map the customer journey and the touch points, implement and test your strategy, segmentation and personalization strategy, optimize and improve your segmentation and personalization strategy, measure continuously, iteratively. So we've spoken about all of these times. The entire process of segmentation and customer profiling or customer persona needs to be a continuous and an iterative process. What are the challenges that you'll normally face? data accuracy and completeness. That's the reason we said we need data from multiple sources. Also, you need the more accurate and up-to-date data. So maintaining this entire database and the entire data from various sources can be quite a challenging and a daunting task. Additionally to that, you have the next point, which is privacy concerns. So you also have legal compliances to wonder about, where because you're going to be collecting a lot of personal information, so you have to maintain the privacy, take care of the ethical concerns. Companies who are using this data have to be extremely transparent and have to comply with the relevant regulations. Generalization and assumption, creating customer profiles based on limited data or making assumption and customers can lead to inaccuracy and biases. Overgeneralize can oversimplify the target, making marketing efforts less effective. So when I talk about generalization, especially if you're new in the business or if you have your own biases about what it is, you're going to land up applying those biases to your data and your assumptions to those data. And then what you're going to do is going to have you're going to have more of inaccuracy, more of biases. Again, we are talking about data. So you cannot oversimplify it. Overgeneralize it, or you cannot undergeneralize it. It has to be the right, which comes over a period of time, and you'll need to trust a little of the data, test it, do prototyping, understand how the assumptions are working or not working. Dynamic customer behavior, customer preferences, behaviors and needs need to change over a period of time, making static profiles and less relevant in the long-term. Regular updates and adaptation necessary to the profile accurate. We said this is constantly, human behavior will continuously keep changing, and you need to ensure that you do not make static profiles but regularly update the updations. Segmentation challenges, it becomes very difficult with all the key variables that are there to get very precise customer segmentation. So multiple groups, so you could have individuals that fit into multiple criteria simultaneously. So again, getting people to fit into unique criteria or unique segments can be quite a daunting and complex task. Sample size and representativeness, if the data is collected from a limited sample, it's not going to represent the whole population. So very simple example is, suppose my general population says that my male-female ratio is about 70-30, and when the data I get is a 50-50. So this is not representative of the whole sample. And what is going to happen? If I use this sample, I'm going to get inaccurate target audience or inaccurate representation for my segmentation. Intensiveness, developing detailed customer profiles can require significant time, effort, resources, especially for large and diverse customer bases. Obviously, because I have to consider multiple criteria, I have to go back and rechange the segmentation criteria, understand the profiles and everything, how it works. Then we have limited scope. Customer profiling requires focus on understanding existing customer. It may not be as effective in predicting the behavior of potential customer or capturing new emerging market. So if you're trying to understand your existing customers, you're going to have a problem in predicting the behavior or capture the new market. So you have to understand, maybe build a persona, try to get more target audience, change this segmentation criteria, build a persona, try to understand where can you get those people from, and all of that picture that comes into the picture. Human biases can influence the interpretation of data and creation of customer profiles, leading to a skewed understanding of the customer. This is what we even spoke about when we spoke about the generalization and assumption. So human bias needs to be kept out of the picture. Competitive challenges, if customer profiling is not done properly, it can lead to homogeneous marketing strategy, making challenging for business to differentiate themselves from the competitors. If I'm not able to do my profiling correct, if I do not understand what is category high and what is category low, And then based on that, I will not be able to differentiate what is my USP in the high category for me to sell myself effectively to the audience. Thank you.